Lord Jesus Christ, where else can we go? In you, you are the one who has the words of life. So we turn to you again. In the midst of all that we have experienced this past week, we have gathered together as your people, with words of prayer, with words of thanks. We look to you to bring clarity and direction, to feed us and to nourish us, that we might serve you well in this coming week. Amen. I think it's a common experience for parents, as far as I know, around the world, to have slaved away, I shouldn't use that metaphor, to have worked away at preparing a meal, to present it before children, and then to have the children push it away. Now, I'm not referring to my own children, of course. I certainly don't have a 10-year-old girl who on a regular basis has a plate put before her and then says, "Yuck," and pushes it away. We do have a sign in our fridge. It's and it says, "Poisonous food is not good." My oldest, Xavier, brought it home, and it's a bright red sign. It's laminated. It's hard to miss. It's a little fridge magnet. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. He was doing some sort of health units and thought this was important to bring home. I'm sure it wasn't some sort of passive, aggressive behavior on his part. No, all parents know what this is like. We take comfort in the thought that at some point our cooking becomes the paradigm of what is good cooking. Oh, if only Mom was here to make this, then it would taste really good. Perhaps we've all had an experience like that, where we've worked at a meal and we've put it before someone and they've said, "Bleh," and pushed it away. And maybe in the moment we roll our eyes, we can take it in stride, sigh heavily and carry on. Maybe we consider the other person's having a bad day or they've never really liked this meal. But sometimes, I'm sure, it hurts. Certainly we need food to live. But there's something else. There's some other nourishment that we missed in that moment and we're aware of it. I think we've all had the experience as well, a different kind of experience, when we have gathered with other people around a table full of food, and there is joy. Joy in being together and joy in having this meal before you. And you all feel fed even before you've touched any of the food. You all feel fed in a different way already. As believers, we add to that experience. In that moment, we are aware as we sit around the table together that all of this food, all of the people and relationships, all of life is thanks to God the Father, that Jesus is present by the Holy Spirit with us, and together we pray a thanksgiving prayer along the lines of a great thanksgiving prayer. In that moment, we have the first glimpses as human beings of the fullness of God in Jesus Christ, the life that is there. We have the first taste, the first hint that Jesus is the source of all life. As we heard read for us this morning in Colossians, all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. Oh, this is not from Colossians, this is from 1 John. This is from John, rather, the first chapter. And this life was the light of all people. From Colossians, we heard these words: "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Hello, Hamza. We're going to go find... Can we go find Mom and Dad? We're going to go this way. We're going to go find this. We're going to go this way. Come on.
No.
No? Yeah, we're going to... Because I think you're...
No, I'm going upstairs.
You're going to go this way. I'm not sure where... Oh, there's Papa. In Acts We read, "In him we live and move and have our being." And this is true for all people, for all living things. But as Christians, it's even more personal. We were baptized into Jesus. We were baptized into his death so that he is the one who is now alive within us. This is what Paul wrote in Galatians. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." With all this in mind, I have come to take these words of Jesus quite literally. A human being does not live by bread alone, but by every word from God. Jesus, of course, quoting from the book of Exodus. In all of this way of looking at what it means to be alive and what gives us life, we are actually, in a way, a step behind the Pharisees. They knew that God was the one who created all life, and so far all of us are comfortable with this idea, that God is the origin and the source, the first mover. But they also knew that all life was sustained by God, moment by moment, and breath by breath. They knew that the sun rose in the morning and the rain fell, thanks to God. And this is not naivety or ignorance. This is the beginning of wisdom. We struggle to understand prayer, gathering for worship, fasting, other spiritual disciplines. I think it's because we are tempted to treat our physical life like a closed mechanical process. We are tempted to treat nature and the universe as if it were entirely self-sufficient in itself. Once created, now it can run on its own. The sun rises, whether there is a God or not. The rain falls, whether there is a God or not. And our bodies we treat similarly, as if they were entirely self-sufficient in their own selves. Certainly we need to exercise, we need to feed our bodies and rest, but that's all that's required for life. We are tempted, I say, because at the same time we also know that food is no substitute for love or for joy, for gratitude. And neither is food a substitute for prayer. You can see how we struggle when we talk about miracles. We have this idea, we sometimes describe them as a supernatural event, something that happens outside the natural process, that as if nature carries on its own, and then a miracle is when God interferes, when God interrupts the natural process. But a more accurate way of putting it is this. Indeed, this is the process, the way it's described throughout church history. A miracle is not a sign of what, or rather, a miracle is a sign of what God is always doing, all the time, all around us. The miracle is that what was revealed, or what was hidden, is now revealed. The miracle is that we get to see God at work when so often it's hidden and obscured from our sight. God is always at work. So what is it that the Father is doing? Well, to answer this, we could turn to Scripture, we could turn to theological tomes, we could ask our great minds to reflect and to reason, what does the Creator of the universe do for work? The clearest answer is to look at Jesus. What is God doing? We ask ourselves, well, what is Jesus doing? Forgiving, healing, teaching, feeding, loving, and ultimately giving up his life so that creation might live. We know the Scripture says that in 6 days God created the world, and on the seventh day God rested. But here Jesus said, to this day, God is working. For us, this is a challenge, I have suggested. We've come to think reflexively that nature can operate on its own. But for Jesus' students and contemporaries, this was not news. Jesus, in these words that we've heard today, around the healing of a man on the Sabbath, Jesus is entering into a theological discussion around a contradiction within Jewish theology. On the seventh day God rested, and so we rest. And yet God is always at work. Which is it? Jesus is saying, look around you. Look at all you are doing. It isn't enough. You have your temple. We have our temple. Jesus speaking, a Jew himself. We have our temple. We have our ritual purification. We have the Sabbath. We have our scriptures. And it isn't enough. Look at this. Today is a Sabbath day. Today is a day of holy festival. And yet, here there is a man who has not been healed in 38 years. And just a moment ago, I met a child on the verge of dying. All we are doing, it isn't enough. Something more is needed. God is not resting. The Father is not resting because the work of creation is not finished. Something more is needed so that people can live. Now, so far, I suspect the Jews who are listening to him likely have no problem. This is a good spiritual insight, a challenging idea. But then Jesus answers his own question. It's an answer that all humanity struggles with, struggles to come to terms with, to accept. Jesus answered, I am the answer. I am life. God's work is not done. Day after day, God gives life to all people through Jesus, even those who ignore him or reject him. When we look around at our world, we see that the work is not done. We all continue to fall victim to our passions. We all continue to be tempted by sin. We all fall victim to illness, even our children and our young people. And we all die. In a way, we are not alive yet. We experience hints of it at the moment. First fruits, as the Bible often says. And so Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. We are looking for that new day, a new sunrise. Thanks to Jesus, our death becomes the pathway to life. Very truly, Jesus said, I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Well, so what? For those of us who do recognize that we're trapped in this idea that nature is simply a closed mechanical process, we remember that fullness of life is found in Jesus. Each day, therefore, with this understanding in mind, we seek Jesus in everything we do. We seek Jesus in our prayer, in our service, in our worship, in our silence and solitude, in our gathering with others. We seek Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives all life. And this meal that we are taking a part in today is a miracle. It is a sign for us that we live each day thanks to God. That God is the one who feeds us and sustains us. Or more correctly, Jesus is the one who feeds us and sustains us. We taste the fullness of life when we approach God. We taste the fullness of life when we approach God together. We taste the fullness of God when we approach God together to eat and when we give thanks. And one day, we will die. And the Lord of life will call us by name, and we will hear His voice and live. Thanks be to God. Amen.